We have a superintendent of schools of Northfield, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for adjusting the schedule, and I love Terry's Garden Bites. She's so peppy with that. Between that and your animal stories, it's two of my favorite early morning features on the one.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We're kind of limited on time because I know you've got some meetings and stuff to go to.
Yeah, 6:45 or so. So you know, okay. we can take as much time as you need, Jeff.
All right. Let's talk about last night's school board meeting. You had a number of things. We'll start off with a couple of reports you have. Yeah. First of all, an update on the technology services.
Yeah, so you know, we had a great report from Director of Technology Services, Kim Briskey, and she basically just gave the board an update on a number of things related to technology. She, you know, really went through and talked about the kinds of things that the technology team, which, you know, I think is just really important for the community to know that, you know, I think we think about a lot of businesses, and businesses, you know, they have technicians, you know, let's just say they have more technicians per device than schools do. So you think about it, we have about 3,700, you know, individual student devices. You know, we have a laptop for each teacher that we started last year, and we run that with seven technical people district-wide. So how many folks who run a business have seven technical people for 4,000 or more individuals that they serve? It's an example of how Kim and Nate Knudsen, our network manager, and the entire team are providing a very reliable and efficient service, you know, for 4,600 basically customers between staff and students, and they do it very efficiently. And I think that what's always important for community members to know, as you know, we've talked before about, you know, we're always very highly rated in the state on the percentage of our overall budget that goes to direct instruction or student support. Technology service is a district service that we run, and we run it as efficiently and as lean as we possibly can so that we are able to do things like reduce class size, and we are able to do things like making sure that we provide an RN in each building. So I think it's important for the community to remember that while we have a very robust technology infrastructure to serve our students and our staff, we do so with a very efficient and a very lean team, and we couldn't be more proud of the work that they do. They're working very hard every day to meet the needs of everyone. And so Kim just really went through, you know, some of the projects that we did over the summer. You know, just one example of how we're always looking at our services and how can we get a better service for a lower cost. We changed our internet service provider this summer. Anyone in a business who has ever changed their internet service provider know that that can be a pretty big deal. For a number of years, we had been with a education consortium out of the Twin Cities. TIES was the name, and at the time, they gave us the best service for the best cost. But, of course, that industry has changed yet again in the last few years. We're very proud that we've gone with a regional partner, Jaguar Communications. We know that they provide internet service to Carleton and St. Olaf Northfield Hospital. So a well-known, you know, regional provider, and we are basically increasing our speed, our internet speed, and our capacity for about half of what we were paying last year. So it just goes to show that we're, you know, looking at how can we get competitive quotes to make sure that we're getting the best service for the most reasonable money.
Is that done on a yearly basis?
So, well, typically it aligns with a federal program called E-Rate as well. We can do it on a yearly basis. Typically, we will sign a multi-year contract, nothing more than 3 years. Typically, we'll sign a yearly contract because when a provider knows that they're going to be with you for several years, you're likely to get a better price. School districts always have the option to renegotiate that. But again, there's an example of how we've watched the marketplace, you know, and reduced the cost pretty substantially, and while getting better overall service. Now, at the same time, we installed some new network electronics. The geeky folks among our listening crowd, we have a new firewall. We have a new content filter so that we're complying with the Children's Internet Protection Act, filtering the internet as it comes into the school. All of those things together, anytime you change that many things on the network, there's bound to be a few quirks, and of course there always are, but Kim Briskey and our network manager, Nate Knudsen, who just, you know, does really well behind the scenes, just does a fantastic job of really making that transparent to people, and we'll talk about that in just a moment with us. But they updated a number of projectors. We had to redo the classroom wiring at Northfield Middle School. Hard to believe that building's been open for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so, again, good stewardship of our facilities, taking care of those things on an ongoing basis so that we don't have one major thing a few years from now. you know, some additional way that, that kids and teachers can project and present information and share. And so really, you know, Kim went through those summer kinds of projects. And then, you know, of course, technology exists for the most part in schools to help accelerate or let kids show, accelerate learning or help kids show things that they know in different ways. So, you know, Kim shared how technology is supporting our social emotional learning curriculum that we've talked about a number of times, how it's supporting our new reading curriculum. And again, looking at how can we do things slightly differently in terms of spaces, you know, than we've done before. When technology becomes wireless, you now have some, you know, better flexibility in how you set the spaces up. We actually have a couple of demonstration classrooms at Northfield Middle School where we're using different kind of furniture than what you would see. And we've got one room, not that we want 40 kids in a class, but, you know, there's room in one room, in an English room at the middle school that could have 40 children in it. And when you look at it and you look at a room next door that has capacity for 30, it's a substantial difference in that you see the room with the flexible furniture looks far bigger than it does with the traditional furniture, and yet it actually has a greater capacity. So Kim really did a great job of talking about those things. She talked about some updates to Schoology, which is our main learning management system. We've switched to for our early childhood through third grade parents to a program called Seesaw. Think of it as a kind of a Facebook, if you will, for younger children's parents. And so that gives us an ability to send updates about what small kids did in their classroom directly to people's phones. Really a great way to engage the community. Actually also gives us some data. So, you know, Kim Briskey and team, you know, do a really great job. Also looking ahead, and, you know, a couple of other pieces as part of our technology services department role is to make sure that there's training for everyone. And so, you know, Kim right now is doing two sessions at each school building every month. And then we're working to upgrade our office employees' skills because, again, the kinds of data that we're using, just like you are in your businesses, it's just gotten so huge in terms of the kinds of information that we have. And so really all of our folks in our offices need to be Excel gurus, and that's not an easy thing to do. So we're, again, providing that training so that we can be as efficient as we possibly can with the people who we have. And again, making sure that those support services, you know, the district support services are as efficient, as lean as they possibly can. So, you know, Kim gave a great update on that. She also gave the board an update that, as you recall, Jeff, we lease all of our student iPads. We've talked about this several times over the years, and we can see the renewal of our iPad lease coming up. And again, that technology is becoming more and more transparent as I walk through the halls each day. Especially at the high school, I can't walk through a hall without somebody recording each other in terms of for a project, or, you know, speaking in the target language in their foreign language class so that they can hear themselves. They record it and then listen to themselves so they can speak. They can hear what they've said and you know, kind of critique their own you know, their own performance. There's also other numerous ways that you see where while it is not, you know, paper's not gone away and it won't ever go away, it has given these options for these tools that we would have never had before. So it really is just part of how we do business anymore. But just like anybody, if there's a business that leases vehicles or there's a business that leases space, the lease on our student devices are coming up in fiscal 20, and so it's time to start planning that.
Now, on that same vein, the Apple products and the iPads are what has been kind of the norm in school districts, though. You know, I've often wondered, we use Windows, we being radio, and really most of business operates on Windows. Are the kids able to learn how to operate Windows you know, software while they're in high school? I mean, are they prepared to go out in the business world? Because they'll probably be seeing stuff that might be a little bit foreign to them, if not.
Well, I think that, as you may know, I started my career teaching computer education, so I taught everything from keyboarding to computer programming, and this has been a question for years. And I think that question is the same kind of thing that people of our vintage, Jeff, continue to ask, because we remember those kinds of changes. I think that as you think about our students today, and you think about really a lot of what you use even in your business, things have really shifted from being where it was so platform dependent to really everything's on the web. You know, in lots of businesses, they're actually using the web, so it's more about the web browser than it is the operating system. Now, of course, we still offer the kinds of business education classes where kids can learn the very specific parts of, you know, Microsoft Office and those things, students are learning spreadsheets, and they're learning Google. We're using the Google products. They're learning those as early as first and second grade. And one of the key things that I used to tell my students, and in fact I just joked with my insurance agent the other day, who happens to be a former student of mine, saying I got this letter from him so efficiently because it was of his great teacher, his computer education teacher, who taught him how to do a mail merge. Well, we taught him how to do a mail merge, you know, 20 years ago now. But the truth is, what you're trying with computer skills, what you're trying to teach students is you're trying to teach them concepts, because how you do things in Microsoft Office today is far different than it was 15 years ago. So I think one of the most important things we can do with students and technology is not necessarily teaching them a specific product, but teaching them how to learn for themselves, because there's no little Mr. Hillman that jumps out of the, I used to say, there won't be any little Mr. Hillman that jumps out of the Word 2020 box. Well, who know there wouldn't be any boxes of software. So I think the key thing is teaching kids how to be have self-efficacy and learning those skills, and they are able to do that.
All right, they're adaptable. Let's move on. We've got to move on here. Reading curriculum. You had an update on the implementation of some stuff there.
Yes. So, Director of Teaching and Learning Mary Grace Hansen gave a fantastic update about the work that's been done so far at our three elementary schools implementing our new reading curriculum. As you remember, this is one of the most major curriculum changes that a school district can undertake, because every elementary teacher teaches reading, and it is a gateway skill. And so we all know that being able to read effectively is so critical, you know, for people's success. And so I know that you know, and listeners know, that we have been focusing on one of the metrics that our school district looks at to really focus on is, do students read well by the end of third grade? Are they proficient? Now, children learn to read at different rates and not always in the same way, so we recognize that our goal of every child reading at a proficiency level by the end of third grade is an aspirational goal. We know there are some students who have, you know, a documented disability or who are close but not quite there yet. There's a variety of things that go into that, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have that aspirational goal. And so having a consistent reading curriculum is something we really hadn't had. We really asked teachers to do a lot on their own to meet the state standards over time. And what we were hearing from staff, and we were knowing that we needed to do, was to have a more consistent elementary reading curriculum. So this really started last year, Jeff. We had a group of 30-plus teachers and some community members who helped us review some curricular materials. They made that selection last fall. We made the purchase of the material in November and December, which was huge because teachers got a chance to start looking at the materials last winter. Between last January and the start of the school year, my count is we had approximately 24 hours of paid professional development for teachers. So they had a full day in February. They had some online training that they were attended and were paid for in January. We had two full days of training in June, and then also some opportunity for people to come in and work at their own rate over the summer, because we really wanted people to be prepared. And so this long runway where people had a lot of training up front, what we're hearing from our staff so far anecdotally is some real positive things about how robust the curriculum is, that there's really rich literature, you know, that's part of the curriculum, which isn't always the case with a lot of consistent reading curriculum. And then there's some great ways that they have students really really work through and think through things differently. So I visited 24 elementary classrooms so far this year and seen our collaborative classroom curriculum in play in a lot of them. And so you're seeing a teacher read the story to the children. They are then processing the story as they go through using an activity called Think, Pair, Share, where they turn to a partner and they talk about what they just heard based on the questions that the teacher has shared. So not only are they getting this really great reading instruction, they're also having a chance to improve their comprehension skills all the way along, which we know is so important. I'm really proud of our teachers. This is an people don't understand how significant of an undertaking this is. This is a 90 minutes, you know, every day, you know, of this, and it's a variety of kinds of instruction. Students are doing a lot of independent reading. A main part of this curriculum is every child meeting with every teacher, their teacher, and talking through where they're at with their own reading level, and trying to help students understand, this is a book that's just right for me. It's not some kind of scripted level 8, whatever. It's The child can pick any book that they're looking at, and the teacher and the child talk through, hey, is this book too easy for you? Is it too hard for you? Mm-hmm. Again, creating that independence in reading that is so important, because as we get kids in what they call their proximal zone of development, they are able to ascend and become better readers over time. So we're really thrilled. We'll do some surveying in November. We've got some other things coming up, but so far, so good.
Is this has this been implemented in each grade, first, second, third, kindergarten, first, second, third? Is it so there's a new level each year?
Kindergarten through fifth grade.
Through fifth.
So all kindergarten through fifth grade teachers have implemented this program this year.
All right. Once again, Matt Hillman, Superintendent of Schools, with us. It's almost the gymnastics season. I'm sure practice will be starting up before too long, and it'll be starting up in a different place this year. You've signed a lease with Farmington.
Yes, and so we are pleased to share that we have created an agreement with the Farmington Gymnastics Center, so that will be the home for our gymnastics team for this coming season. You know, I know that folks listening, you know, have heard, you know, for 23 years or so, we had practiced and performed here at practiced and had our competitions here at the Northfield Gymnastics Center, and unfortunately, we just weren't able to work out an amenable lease this year. And we appreciate the great relationship that we had with the Northfield Gymnastics Center for 23 years. Great, you know, great local place, and we're disappointed that we weren't able to work it out. We certainly understand organizations go in different directions. We wish them luck, you know, as they move forward, and have nothing but, you know, positive things, positive thoughts going their way. But at the end of the day, we had to have a place for our girls to practice and to compete this year. And so we were able to work out a lease with the Farmington Gymnastics Center, and we will be practicing and competing there this year.
All right. Let's move on to the bond referendum.
There's a bond referendum?
Yeah, there is. Oh. I don't know if you've heard of this or what, but we're about a month off, less than a month off.
28 now, days, as a matter of
28
fact.
28 days, but who's counting? Yeah. You have been busy, I know, addressing groups and such, and but what was the update about last night?
Well, what we just talked about last night is just gave folks an update in terms of thinking through and making sure folks know where we're at in terms of the informational campaign. I think, Jeff, I listened to a spot you did last week, and I know you complimented the district on our effort to get the information out to people, and I really appreciate that. We are very serious about making sure that people have the information that they need to make an informed decision. And so we simply gave the board an update last night, and again, we always just talk about the four things that we've heard from folks. As you know, after last year's ambitious bond referendum failed, we listened even more intently than we had in the 3 years previous developing the plan, and really we heard three things from the community. You know, number one, we heard invest in that early learning and the elementary projects. So we know that we get this great return on the investment for any time that we spend money on early childhood education. We've talked about that a number of times before, and make those upgrades to our elementary building so that our elementary students have the best chance for success, because we know that that pays off over time. They talked to us about making sure that we take reasonable and common sense steps to improve our security as best we can while still making sure places feel like a welcoming learning environment. And, of course, they said make it less expensive. And so we did all three of those things in terms of this bond referendum, the proposal for a new elementary school on the campus of Greenvale Park, repurposing the current Greenvale Park building into a district-wide early childhood center, taking those early childhood programs, preschool, early childhood family ed, early childhood special ed, and our licensed childcare from two separate facilities under one roof. I think people can understand the efficiency of how you can run programs when they're co-located as opposed to when they're across different locations. People are really pleased to help us with space issues. We do have space issues at all three of our elementary buildings, so some additions and improvements at both Bridgewater and Sibley as well that will, you know, both enhance security while also relieving some of those space issues. So we just always go through that, and then we just talked about that people might notice a little bit more signage from the school district. I want to be really clear. We know that there's some local advocacy groups for, you know, both the school referendum and for the Cannon's River Civic Center referendum. You see some vote yes signs around town. Just to be clear, you know, the school district can only provide information. We can't provide, you know, advocacy one way or the other. But one of the things that even though we really tried very hard last year, 51 public meetings, lots of different mailings and things, we still heard some feedback from the community that we need you to get this in front of us a little bit more. So we have invested in some signage this year. So you might see some school district signage that, again, is informational, that has our informational campaign logo. We've got one banner that's on the corner of Jefferson and Division. We've got one at the middle school that the wind blew down last weekend, but our grounds crew is going to put that back up this morning. And then we also have a banner that's on property that the school district owns. We actually own a small amount of property across Lincoln from Greenvale School. There's just a small, when they put Lincoln Parkway in years ago, there was a small piece that it went through the school property. So that banner is also there. And then people have seen we have some posters and some other kinds of doorway signage when people come into schools, because we really just want to make sure people know about the referendum. There's a lot on the ballot this time. We want to make sure we cut through all of that political noise that people are hearing from, you know, local and statewide elections, and make sure they know there's this very important piece on the ballot in November. So just people are seeing a little bit more signage from us than they have in the past, and we're hearing some positive things on it. The bond referendum guide, you probably got yours in the mail over the weekend. Again, we heard from people. Let's just say, you know, we always want to teach people because we're a school, but we heard a little feedback that our communication might have been a little text dense, if you will. So if people look at that bond guide, they're going to notice that it's much more visual, that there's more information that you can process visually as opposed to having to read a lot of text. And then, of course, it directs you all to the website for people who do want, you know, that additional piece. And so, and then finally, we just updated that, you know, we've got four official school district sponsored presentations / tours at Greenvale Park. We've completed two of those already. Had a really nice crowd last Monday night. We have another tour and presentation coming up this Saturday on the 13th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. again at Greenvale Park Elementary. And then the final district sponsored tour and presentation at Greenvale Park would be on Monday, October 29th, again from 7 to 8:30 a.m. And we're presenting to a number of, you know, we've presented at Rotary, we've presented at the Chamber, the State of the District. I know you attended that, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
This morning we've got Sertoma. Tonight we've got the Special Education Advisory Council. We've been to PTOs. We're going to be at several of the retirement centers coming up. So have laptop, we'll travel. And board members Ellen Iverson and Julie Pritchard, Noel Stratmon, and I have been, you know, doing the tour and really just sharing a brief presentation and asking people's questions. You know, we've had great engagement with the community. It's been a lot of fun, and we really enjoy the chance to share what we heard and what the needs are. And again, we really believe this bond referendum reflects back to the community the feedback that they gave us after the last one. We've really listened and are trying to make sure that we are updating our facilities in a way that's commensurate with what voters are able to support.
And lastly, when we had talked to you a couple of weeks back, the state had made some funding available, some grants available for school safety, but it was kind of a needle in a haystack type thing, that not nearly enough. Did Northfield, were we on the grant? Did we, yes or no? Or
Well, the short answer is no. So there's $25 million available, and school districts across the state requested $250+ million. So 10% of the grants were funded. Northfield was not fortunate enough to get one of those grants. It was drawn by, if you met the criteria, our understanding, the way they describe it, is that they were going to randomly select the projects. We're really happy and thrilled for our Rice County neighbors down in Faribault. They might have wanted to play the lottery, because they won three grants. For quite a bit, you know, in terms of in the $400,000 range each for a couple of their schools. Their high school and a couple of their elementary schools, and we're so thrilled for our friends down in Faribault to have received those school safety grants. We were not so lucky this time, you know, but we have been blessed in many other ways. So what my hope is, Jeff, is that $250 million worth of requests for school safety grants, you know, for $25 million in funding, I really hope that the legislature pays attention to the fact that school districts have needs that they are not able to address it in one fell swoop with their capital budgets or their long-term facilities maintenance budgets in very limited ways. So our hope is that they look at that and say, we should probably do something about this next legislative cycle.
Yeah, I'm sure the legislators will be hearing about that. Thank you
so
much.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Thanks.
Us,
and we will talk to you the regular time next week, couple of weeks.
You got it, Jeff. Have a great day.
All right. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman.